Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Hi, everyone. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your practice. It's a little chilly here today, so wearing some warmer stuff. Try to keep myself warm. Okay, I wanted to start out with something a little different today. It's been a long time since I've done like B-roll stuff. But you ready, Sylvain? We're going to have alternate Sylvain in the Kuun kitchen over there. Show us a little demo. We've been talking about Daimoku, obviously. And we're talking lately. The last video was about the Daimoku of the Lotus Sutra. We're still in that Gosho. By the way, sorry about the zebra stripes. It's just a camera setting. I've been adjusting things, trying to get lighting right. I keep trying to hone my skills. And unfortunately, sometimes stuff makes it through the production. And but as you know, I don't script any of this, so the take is the take. So I put it up anyway. This one won't have that annoying zebra. But I'm trying something new so that I don't skip frames. Anyway, you don't need to know all that tech talk. What I want to show you, you ready, Sylvain? Okay, that's the alternate Sylvain in the kitchen. Going to show you an example that is just a nice little visual. Sometimes that's worth many more words than I can articulate to see how Daimoku functions in our lives. Take it away. All right. Well, hopefully there's enough light in here to do this little experiment. I'm going to walk you through it. So in case you want to show it to somebody else sometime. We're in our utility kitchen here in the Kuun. And I'm just going to take this bowl. I was hoping for a whiter one, but I think you'll get the point here. I'm just going to pour some water into it. And it doesn't have to be a whole lot to make this little example here to show how Daimoku works in our lives. And I want you to envision this water as though it were the very karmic energy of which we are made. You know, we talk all the time about being a freight train of karma, right? Of energy moving through space, making time, as it were. So if you can envision your karma as this clear water, this body of water, right? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to sprinkle just regular old black pepper that we season our food with, right? And what the black pepper is going to represent is our negative karma, our little monkeys, our shouting voices distracting us from the clear water that is our Buddhahood, our karma, right? And you've got to watch closely because this will happen real quick. What this is an illustration of is how Daimoku works in our lives. And hopefully you can see that pepper. Watch closely. The tip of my finger is going to represent Daimoku. And so when we chant Daimoku, this is what happens. Did you see all that pepper on the surface of the water just got out of the way, and it exposes that clear water. And notice it stays out of the way. So this is what Nichiren is talking about. This is a visual example, if you will, of the way Daimoku penetrates our lives, and you know, just moves all of the negative karma out of the way. So I thought it was a cool little thing. Just thought I'd share that with you.
Well, all right, other Sylvain. Thank you. I hope that's a useful little visual tool. You can use it to help demonstrate a very kind of fun way of helping you expose others who don't understand about chanting or Buddhism Of course, always after you chant with them for a while, then you can take them into the kitchen or dining room, wherever, just a simple thing. By the way, the finger, the reason it does that is because you put a little bit of dish soap on the end of your finger. Just rub it. Just be careful not to touch or drip into the water. You'll ruin the effect. But if off to the side, you just rub a little dish soap on your finger, dish detergent. And when you touch the water, it changes the properties of the water, repels all of the pepper. It's really a clever little, very simple experiment, but it illustrates something quite profound, yeah? So you can put that in your bag of tricks for helping you explain to other people how you're not only a magician, but illustrate how Daimoku works in our minds, in our lives, in our karmic freight train of energy. Yeah. All right. and we'll use that to launch us into another, a continued reading of the Daimoku of the Lotus Sutra. And Nichiren continues. People say that if you tie a piece of living rhinoceros horn to your body and enter the water will not come within 5 feet of you. One of those expedient means folklore kind of tales. The influence of things is the point here, yes? They also say that if one leaf of the sandalwood tree unfurls, it can eradicate... Sorry. Old people reminders. That we're old. So that if one sandalwood tree leaf unfurls, it can eradicate the order of the Aranda trees for a distance of 40 yohanas. In this case, our negative karma may be likened to the Aranda trees or the water, and the Daimoku of the Lotus Sutra may be likened to the rhinoceros horn or the sandalwood leaf. Now do you understand why I gave you that little visual experiment? Same lesson, right? Diamonds are so hard that almost no substance will cut them, and yet they can be cut by a sheep's horn or a turtle's shell. The limbs of the Nyagrodha tree are so stout that the largest birds can perch on them without breaking them, and yet they are vulnerable to the tailor bird, which is so tiny it could almost build its nest on the eyelashes of a mosquito. I guess it must be like a woodpecker, right? Could take the limb apart. Here, our evil karma, our negative karma, is analogous to the diamond or the Nirodha tree, and the Daimoku of the Lotus Sutra to the sheep's horn of the tailor bird. In other words, negative karma built into our engine of, right? Creation, karmic engine, freight train, as I call it. It's not simply just an annoying, like the pepper on the water. It's pervasive. Right? It affects every aspect of that pool of water, of our karmic freight train. But the Daimoku, poof. It doesn't annihilate it. It doesn't get rid of it. But it gets it out of the way. It's still part of what our momentum is, but it ceases to be oppressive, like the lower worlds, right? Amber draws dust and a magnet attracts iron particles. Here, our negative karma is like the dust or the iron, and the Daimoku of the Lotus Sutra is like the amber or the magnet, right? It repels. If we consider these analogies, we can see why we should always chant Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. The first volume of the Lotus Sutra states, quote, throughout incalculable, innumerable kalpas, it is rare that one may hear this law, this, understand this process of life, yeah? And the fifth volume says, quote, as for this Lotus Sutra, throughout immeasurable numbers of lands, one cannot even hear its name. What's its name? Myoho Renge Kyo. And the fifth volume, okay. Thus, it is an extremely rare thing to hear the name of the Lotus Sutra, though the Buddhas, Sushanta, and many treasures made their appearance in the world. They did not utter so much as the name of the Lotus Sutra. And though the Thus Come One Shakyamuni made his advent expressly for the purpose of preaching the Lotus Sutra, he kept the name of that sutra a secret and never referred to it for a period of 42 years. It was only when he reached the age of 72 that he first began to intone Myoho Renge Kyo, the Daimoku of the sutra. However, the people of faraway countries such as China and Japan were unable to hear of it at that time. It was over 1,000 years before China heard so much as the name of the sutra, and another 350 or more years before it was heard in Japan. So again, Nichiren is referring to the history of propagation of Shakyamuni's teachings, right? Thus, encountering this sutra is as rare as the blossoming of the Adambara flower, which occurs but once in 3,000 years, or the one-eyed turtle finding a floating piece of sandalwood, which happens only once in innumerable boundless kalpas. You'll have to look up that story of the one-eyed turtle. It's an interesting analogy of how difficult and how fortuitous it is to encounter this teaching of the Lotus Sutra. We're trying to change that in this latter age, but it's no small feat, right? Not only because of the ignorance about Buddhism in general, but because there are factions of Buddhism which are polluting the waters. Sorry for the analogy, but literally. And misleading lots and lots of people, leading to a lot of misunderstanding, and they may as well be not practicing Buddhism at all. There is always hope, though, because if they're at least saying Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, they are pushing that Gohonzon door ajar, aren't they? We've read that. Nichiren encourages us about that. So that's not all is lost. However, this is Shakyabuku. Shakyabuku is directed to other Buddhists. It's not about changing Catholics and Muslims and so on and so forth. They will learn through Shoju. They will be attracted to the energy of our Bodhisattva enlightenment. But those Buddhists who are being misled and learning wrong, terrible obstacles getting in their way of their enlightenment, they need to be broken free of that. That's Shakyabuku. That's what that means. It certainly was what Nichiren was practicing in his day, because Japan was Buddhist in name. But as you know, Nichiren, we've spent hundreds and hundreds of hours in videos talking through his letters, him dissecting the errors of all these other sects and why they should be cast aside, made illegal in his, as they should not be allowed to practice. Suppose one were to place a needle in the earth, point up, and throw down a tiny mustard seed at it from a palace of the great King Brahma in the heavens. One could sooner impale a mustard seed on the point of a needle in this way than encounter the Daimoku of the Lotus Sutra. Once again, to understand, to properly understand and practice and even encounter this teaching is incredibly precious. Or suppose that one were to place a needle upright on the top of Mount Sumeru in one world, and then standing atop the Mount Sumeru of another world on a very windy day, were to try to cast a thread so that it reached the other mountain and passed through the eye of the needle. One could sooner thread a needle in this way than encounter the Daimoku of the Lotus Sutra. Yeah, I think he's making his point. Yeah. Therefore, when you chant Daimoku, and this is the important thing, you should be aware that it is a more joyful thing than for one who is born blind to gain sight and see one's father and mother, a rarer thing than for a man who has been seized by a powerful enemy to be released and reunited with his wife and children. Right? That kind of depth of feeling. Again, it's about this resolve. When you chant, it has to be an event. Remind yourself, it's not just words, or it's about this profound appreciation for enlightenment already there. Invoke it. Yes, it's that precious. Question: what passages of proof can be cited to show that one should chant only the Daimoku? Answer: the eighth volume of the Lotus Sutra of the Wonderful Law states that one who accepts and upholds the mere name of the Lotus Sutra will enjoy immeasurable good fortune. The Lotus Sutra of the Correct Law says that if one hears this sutra and proclaims and embraces its title, one will enjoy merit beyond measure. And the supplemented Lotus Sutra of the Wonderful Law says that one who accepts and upholds the name of the Lotus Sutra will enjoy immeasurable good fortune. These statements indicate that the good fortune one receives from simply chanting the Daimoku is beyond measure. And all of this thing about reward, merit, you understand, this is the discussion of the three bodies in another way. The reward body, right? What are we rewarded with? The experience of enlightenment in this samsaric manifested form, or the reward being this manifested form, manifest as Buddha. This is why in the second meditation in Gongyo, I focus on self-manifestation. That's what the self-manifestation is about, manifesting the true selfness of Buddha-ness, which includes all selfness, the universe. To accept, uphold, read, recite, take delight in, and protect all eight volumes and 28 chapters of the Lotus Sutra is called the comprehensive practice. To accept, uphold, and protect the expedient means and the lifespan chapters is called the abbreviated practice. And simply to chant one four-phrase verse or the Daimoku, and to protect those who do so, is called the essential practice. Hence, among these three kinds of practice, comprehensive, abbreviated, and essential, the Daimoku is defined as the essential practice. How are we doing time-wise? All right. The next question leads us to another aspect of the Daimoku. I'm going to stop here along with our little magic trick. That's quite a salient point. The reason for the Daimoku, it's the place it holds in the practice. If nothing else, chant the Daimoku. If nothing else, anything additional, the abbreviated practice or the comprehensive practice, incorporate that into your life as much as possible. But never, ever, ever stop the essential practice. Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. Yeah? Take care of your health. Stay steadfast in your practice. You will experience the results. Don't forget to like and subscribe. It really helps the channel grow, our Sangha grow, for that deep appreciation from all of us. And the same goes to you patrons on Patreon or through PayPal. Yeah, you guys keep us going. So thank you. I'll see you in the next one. Let me know what you think of these little side experiments, these things. Are they visual aids? Do they help you? Or are they just nonsense? Let me know. I'm curious to hear your opinions. Not that I have a wealth of them, but I also, you know, the point of this practice is to enjoy it. So if we can have a little fun and it feeds our confidence building so we can keep practicing, then I'm all for it. But if it's a distraction, let me know your thoughts, okay? Bye for now.